Right, Wednesday evening, 5:23. Before I get started teaching, I need to say something. You spend time praying in the Spirit. You spend time reading confessions, you know, mapping out and all these things. First thing out of the box, the enemy fires back on you. And you're thinking, what have I done wrong? Oh, I had evil thoughts. Oh, I ate something wrong. Oh, I this, I that. It's kind of like going in the military and you do all this training. They send you out in the field with all your weapons and you start firing on the enemy and you get fired back and you go running to the sergeant. What's going on? I don't understand. I was reading about Brother Hagin a few days ago and he's talking about, I haven't had a headache since, 65 years, something like that. But he said one day I was going down the road and I was pulled out of Rhema or somewhere. And the symptoms just kind of hit me and I thought, oh no, I don't have that. And he said about the time he got it out of his mouth, it left. He took it all. He took it on his back. And so, what comes against you? Satan's tactic, fake news. Fake news. You know, when you're in warfare, there's two sides to it, right? So if you're getting fired upon, what does Peter say? Count it all joy? Resist the devil, he will flee from you. So, you know, if you spend a lot of hours doing this kind of stuff, you should not be surprised. That's what Peter means when he says, don't think it's strange. Okay? All right, we're going to talk about tonight the remnant. It seems to me, I'm going to read you what I wrote down here. It seems to me in my adult Christian experience, much of the church just come to services but never do anything to contribute to much of anything. I remember one church we went to that if you had a kid that's being taught, then you get on a list and each set of parents would, or a parent, would take 6 weeks, you'd rotate in. 6 weeks, you'd teach the kids 6 weeks, you'd rotate out. Because everybody likes to go to the service. Nobody wants to be in the nursery. Nobody wants to teach the kids. Nobody wants to do all those kind of jobs that need to be done. So it ends up being a bunch of them doing it year after year after year and getting so burnt out because they never get to hear anything of the teaching or be in the worship service or whatever, instead of everyone doing their part. Okay. They are just there for whatever benefit they can glean from coming. A lot of times we gear churches, well, they just didn't do much for me. Well, you've missed the point. All right. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, it just doesn't get it. I just don't get anything out of it. As I said a few weeks back, it's like what JFK said. It's not, you know, in his notable speech, it's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. See, kind of what I brought about the golden calf and Nasara Jasara has become the golden calf. It's all about, I just want my gold and I just want my benefits and I just want the med beds or whatever the things. I'm not willing to get in the battle and fight and pay the price to see that our nation gets completely restored. Because a lot of people, they're upset with the president, they're upset with the alliance because it's taken so long. But it's so much more massive than they ever thought it was going to be. But the thing is, if we don't see it through to the end and get this evil eradicated, then we'll be back in the same mess. That's what he said. If you don't drive them out, they'll be, you know, pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. That wasn't for just this that generation. It's every generation that has existed. All right. God did not put us here to spectate, but to participate. The scriptures in the Old Testament, New Testament alike bear this out. As we go into this new era, it is my hope that this will change. Like I was telling Danny, whatever timeline we're on, whether we're the time where, if it's right about Tartaria and that civilization was the thousand-year reign of Christ because of the technologies they had and those kind of things, and Satan's been loosed and now this is a devastation. That's why that society was completely taken out in the 1800s. I don't know. Whichever. It's clear to me that the reign of Christ and the Lord, a new heaven, a new earth, is going to be a physical, even though we'll be changed and we won't die. It's going to be on this earth. The nations are going to flow into the city of God. But if, you know, I don't think that's something that people have grasped. They've got this idea that, oh, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to float on clouds, and, you know, all this silly, it's just silly stuff. Just silly stuff that we've been sold our whole Christian life. And I don't believe it's reality. It's the garden. What did man do in the garden? He ate. God told him to take dominion. He said, not just fill the garden, he said, fill the earth. So that must be what he wants, because he's going to give us a new heaven, a new earth, and then he's going to come sit down on the earth so he can walk with his son, his sons and daughters, like he did in the garden. That's his plan. I didn't write the thing. That's what it says in the book. Oh, we're just no good for this place. Heaven is our home. Since when? It's a holding tank. Until. There's a reason Enoch said 10,000s of his saints are going to be coming with him. This is our home. And it's like people do not want to engage with where we are today. And you know people. You know people you've tried to talk to, and it's so disappointing because you feel like, I thought they would understand. I thought they would listen, and they don't, and they won't. But pray for me. I need you to pray for me. I have a busy schedule, so I don't have time for all of that. I don't want to know any of that. Don't tell me about all of that. We know people like that, and it's all on you, or you feel like it's all on you. I am kind of a little bit of a coming back at me there. All right. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Even if we're in the time where Satan goes into the lake of fire forever, and God, the great white throne judgment, and he's going to destroy the old earth and create a new one, and all of that, even if that's the time that comes, I do not believe that just instantly everybody's just going to know everything. They're going to have to learn God's ways. All right, 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says here, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, the church has never been taught to be the church. We've not had any Pauls. I don't know where this got lost. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I remember those days. Well, I'm Brother Hagin. No, I'm Kenneth Copeland. No, I'm Charles Capps. It was like this. I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, this is the golden calf thing. God is saying, they've forgotten about me. All they want is the gold. Just give me what I need and do it now. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the cornerstone. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You talk about all these weirdo off-world people that people believe in, that all this stuff. You think they know your motives? They know your heart? God knows all things. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Brother Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin, doesn't matter. Our life or death or things present or us. Are things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So what's he saying here? We need to get over just, well, I follow this one, I follow that one, we don't believe in that, we don't believe in this. No, it's about Christ. All right. This kind of accountability would not bode well for the people that I've known in the church. They would probably be offended and never come back. If you really stepped up and you really began to talk straight and say, you know, that's why there's a remnant. There's a remnant. There's many called, but there's few chosen, you know, because some of them just, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know. Because they've been taught an alternate Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. That it's just an easy road and you just get blessed and you just, you know, just do whatever you want. You never have any problems. You never are confronted with any attacks. Isn't that true? I know until we came, well, I would say probably until I started going on television and started getting flack, it was just, I didn't understand what was going on because I had never been taught about anything about like that. I'd heard, you know, the faith teachers talk about things, but it never resonated with me until I started getting in God's will and doing what God told me to do, and then all of a sudden, like, what in the world is going on? What Paul's trying to say, you know, I'd like to further you. I'd rather get you to more maturity, but you're already having a meltdown and you're still just a baby and you're carnal. And I'm not saying you're carnal today, don't get me wrong, because there's going to be others listening to this. All right. Let's look at Ephesians right quick, chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work, the ministry, the work, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are a body, and God wants us to move as one. The unity of the faith. All right, Paul was exhorting the body of Christ in the fact that God has chosen each one and graced them to do the work of the ministry, whatever he's called you to do. It has been my experience with some that if you correct them in any way with God's word, they say you are judgmental or a bigot. Bigot means self-important or vain. In other words, who are you to tell me what to do? Regardless of what the members think, they will stand before God for what they have done or not done. All of us will. There will be a judgment seat of Christ. So I have come to the realization that there will probably always be a remnant that do most of the heavy lifting concerning God's plan. That's been my experience. For many years, we'd do a little bit, but, well, I'm not called to that. Well, who is? Who's called to the nursery? Who's called to teach them 12-year-old boys? I remember telling one of them to shut up one time. 'Cause, boy, I tell you what. Everybody wants to be in there listening to the good stuff. Nobody wants to be in there. But it's all part of it, right? All right. This is what Jesus' reaction is going to be. This is Revelation 3. You talk about an awakening. I hear people say, well, those people don't know what's going on. They're going to sure be surprised. They're sure going to be shocked. Well, I think they're going to be, even those people are going to be shocked. All right, 3:14. This is in John's exhortation from Jesus about the churches. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. I'm reading the wrong one. 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus isn't going to like it. I've just gotten to the place that I just, unless there's an opportunity or a leading, I just don't say anything anymore. Yep. We're going to look a little bit at how God used the remnant in different places in scriptures. First one will be the 14th chapter of Revelation. What I'm saying today is not to rebuke you, but to encourage you. Because I know you're part of the remnant. All right, Revelation 14, 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The remnant. Okay, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house with everybody and their dog making fun of him for 120 years. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What happened to those that made fun of him? Didn't make it, did they? All right, let's go over to Judges chapter 6. You know, when it's all said and done, it's going to be worth it all. That song, "It'll Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." Yep, it is. 6. The church is no different, I don't think, than the time of Gideon. The church has been overrun by our enemies. The nation's been overrun by our enemies. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. That's pretty bad. They're having to hide from the enemy in these caves. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Sounds like the deep state, doesn't it? When they're trying to put you in the little 15-minute cities in your little cubicle and you eat bugs and you don't have anything and you'll be happy. So what it sounds like to me, they couldn't even plant a crop that they didn't come in and steal it. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage." Do you see why we have to have this thing work out? They had a reset, and look at them now. "And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon probably looked behind him and wondered, who's he talking about? And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. It's all the Lord's fault. No, it was their fault. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in all my father's house. Sounds like some of the churches I've been to. Nobody wants to do anything. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he brought the pot in a broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock, pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So Gideon finally believed the angel and what the angel said. Now we know what happened. I'm not going to read all of it. We know what happened with Gideon. He finally mustered up enough courage to believe what the Lord said, and he began to act upon it. And God gave him instruction, and when he did, they overcame the Midianites. All right. Let's keep going here. 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass, at verse 1, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Well, what previous chapter says, or I don't know which it won, that Elijah the Tishbite, well, let me just read 17:1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So because they were disobeying God, following Ahab and Jezebel and the Baals, what happened? No rain. People were starving. Yep. All right. Verse 3 here. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, rather my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took the oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? I think this man is actually the one of the widow that had the oil that didn't stop and the grain or the meal. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom Israel, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So what happens? He has a showdown with the prophets of Baal, if you've read the story. And what happens? Nothing happened with them, but with Elijah, fire came down out of heaven. And a miracle happened. Elijah was one of those remnant that the Lord used to restore Israel back because they had gone the way like the USA has gone and the world's gone. Worshiping the same old Moloch and Astaroth that they're worshiping today. That's what's going on right now. We cannot get away from the fact that the reason that all this is going on is to rescue the children. To uncover all this evil that's underground. God can't bless America with all this. He can't. He couldn't do it in the Old Testament, and he can't do it in the New. He's the same. He doesn't change when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, I don't understand people, especially that are pro-life, wouldn't be interested in hearing about what they've been doing to the children. That amazes me. They don't view it as the same. But it's the ultimate, most heinous thing that could ever happen. I mean, it's all connected together as far as I'm concerned. All right. Just like Elijah, there may be times that, you know, you stand alone against the prophets of Baal and you have a great victory, but you know, sometimes you get to feeling bad, like, I'm the only one there. This is chapter 19, the next chapter, verse 9. It says, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord pass by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of the Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, in every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he's feeling sorry for himself because he's doing all these great things from the Lord. Now he's having a depressed day. The Lord says, there's 7,000 in Israel that haven't bowed their knee either. You're not alone. It may seem at times that we are, but God has his remnant all over the world holding the line. That second petition that we read is actually Mike Thompson's petition. So when we read that petition, I just say, Lord, we're here holding the arms up of Mike and C.K. Thompson in Las Vegas. He's an apostle, prophet, and she's a prophet. So we're standing in the gap for them and holding their arms up because I know they've had tough times. They've had many things not good happen to them. But they're still there and they're still holding the line. Yeah. All right, go to Romans chapter 9. Verse 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Yeah, just a remnant. Okay, Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You are awakened for a reason. Have you heard that before? But it's true. You've been awakened for a reason. All right. I know that warfare sometimes makes it hard. But that's just kind of part of it. Unfortunately. All right, Revelation chapter 12. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place which, where she is nourished for a time and times half time from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out his out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He doesn't seem to bother those that aren't doing anything. We should never be upset because God's chosen us. Yeah. I encourage you to continue to hold the line. God sees in secret and he rewards openly. All right. There will not be a reward for complaining in life, only reigning in life, right? We have to remember that. All right, with that, let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I've heard LT with And We Know. He's a really sweet Christian man, and he talks about how people they used to go to church with won't have anything to do with them because of the stance they've taken. People that were friends, close friends, just dropped them like hot rocks. Yeah. I guess that's why the Lord said these words. This is Matthew. We're not going to have too many more scriptures here. This is Matthew 18. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whosoever or whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There may just be a few. You know what remnant means? It means those remaining. Those that remain faithful. Those that remain true. Okay, I've got just a few scriptures in the Old Covenant, and we'll be done. I have a little bit of intel at the end. All right, the first one is Haggai 1:14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. The remnant. They did the work. All right, Habakkuk 2:8. Or Habakkuk, however you want to say it, 2:8. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Let me say that again. Because thou hast spoiled many nations. Who's he talking about here? All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. The remnant's going to spoil him for what he's done. All right, Joel 2:32. I think that's the last one. Let me look here. No, I have one more after that. 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All right, Micah chapter 2. There's a whole bunch of them. I just picked a few. Let me try to find Micah here. There he is, right after Jonah. Micah 2:12. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Their breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. All right. Okay, we don't have to cut it off. I'll just give this intel. I thought some things that I came across this week were kind of interesting. The first one was from FCBD3 Code, the guy from Australia. He said the chemtrails are being used to hide their repairs on the firmament. And he gave references of different things, like Hillary Clinton said some things. She said, we've tried to shatter the glass ceiling. But anyway, he said that's what they're using the chemtrails for, is to mask the repair. All right. Why are people all upset over the vaccination of farm animals? It's been going on for decades. Trump will be going to the coronation of King Charles III and not Joe Biden. Who's the real president? This is from Breitbart. Godfather of AI resigns from Google, warns of the danger of artificial intelligence. Breaking. Ohio attorney claims doctors and healthcare systems who imposed vaccine mandates and pushed experimental treatments during the COVID pandemic will be prosecuted for murder. I heard a programmer respond to a listener, and this is what he said. They were concerned about AI. And he said, that the black hats have is bad, but the AI that the white hats have is good because they received it from the Palladians. All right, there's two places, Job 38. We're going to look at that right quick. Job 38. That they're giving references to the Palladians. Well, really, it's Pallades. This is Job 38, 31. And that's kind of their answer to everything. Well, if it's on the white hat side, it's good. If it's on the black hat side, it's, you know, whether they really know or not. All right. All right, verse 31 there. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pallades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Okay, right there, the reference, or in my, down here, it talks about these are heavenly bodies. All right, heavenly bodies. Okay, Jude 11. They're making them planets. They are not. No more than Venus or Jupiter and all of those. They're not planets. All right, this is Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice plucked up, dead plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Okay. That's where they're getting all this garbage. And I'm going, you have to be, anyway. All right, Right Side Broadcasting had a pop-up today, and I couldn't get a better look at it, but it said they want to introduce everyone to their new AI, and they had a name for it. All right, this is me. I asked the Lord why he waited until now to have us begin to take down AI. He said it's because it's making its move, so he's having us make our move. If you have noticed, you're starting to see it everywhere and identifying itself. Even my computer came up with, this is AI, I'm here to help you. Every time you see it, decree it to stop and be removed from your systems. It must be eradicated from the earth.